the name. Amen. And God is good to us. Amen. All right, it's good to three of you, amen. But God is good to us, whether you believe that or not. God is good to us. And appreciate your prayers today. And I tell you what the blessing is for me tonight is y'all just don't realize how good my wife takes care of me. I am a pain in the rear. I'm going to tell you that right off. And most of you know that already. But I really appreciate her taking care of me, treating me like a baby tonight, today, trying to help me get into pulpit tonight, and I appreciate that. I've really appreciated your prayers. I'm burning up right now, and don't worry, I'm probably not going to come back there in the back tonight. Amen. But you up front, if I do make it down off here, one of the major side effects of this new medicine I've went on today is vomiting. So, you know, if you might want to just cover yourself, amen. Anyway, open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. I am glad to be here tonight. I don't like missing church. I like being at church with God's people, amen. And 1 Peter chapter 1, just going to preach a little bit about this graduation tonight. And if God will let me, preach a little bit about us Christians and hope it'll be a blessing to you. I'm going to try to be short. I know we got that thing going on back there and all that, and I'm going to try to be short. I'm only preaching one of my thoughts today. It's just four pages long, amen. So, amen. Verse 18 says this, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times." And look at who it's manifested for. For you. This is a personal message, amen? Just for you. "Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love to the brethren, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." And listen at verse 23, "being born again," amen, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man is the flowers of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But listen, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Verse 1, chapter 2 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for our visitors being with us tonight, Lord, that you've sent this way. Lord, I do pray for these three that we have among us tonight that's graduating, Lord, high school. Lord, it is a big deal to finish high school, to get a diploma, and I do pray for them. Lord, I pray for Michael, too, for next week. But, Lord, I want to concentrate tonight on graduation, Lord, and Lord, and what you have in store for us. And you've got our whole life planned for us if we just acknowledge you, Lord. And you said if we acknowledge you, you would direct our paths. And Lord, we pray that these three tonight would direct their paths, Lord, that they would look to you each and every step of their way. Lord, we want to be careful to give you the honor and glory. And Lord, somebody in here tonight don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I do pray tonight that they would be born again. And Lord, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, in my message tonight, I had down here that we had four that we were going to celebrate tonight graduating. And one of them turkeys didn't show up. Amen. He was going to be the blunt of my message. You know that. Amen. If I'm preaching and he's on the front row, he's getting it. Amen. Maybe that's why he didn't come. I don't know. I talked to him last night, told him to be here, and he wasn't. So I'm going to have to beat him up sometime this week anyway. So tonight, we, as you know, we celebrate the graduation of three of our teenagers, amen? And I'm going to have a little thing back there in a minute, but I want you to just think for me for just a little bit. I spent a lot of time thinking about these kids, and I haven't been around them most of their life like I was at Liberty. When I was at Liberty, I went to a bunch of graduation stuff last year, and I seen those kids. I taught those kids when they were little bitty kids. Because I was there about 10 years, and so I seen them grow up. But I haven't seen these kids that long, but you have. Amen? I think Sister Tammy's known Samuel most of his life. Amen? And I think Brother Billy and that crew back there has known Devin most of his life. Amen? And we've been privileged to know Catherine for the last couple of years. I got to know her more than I wanted to in going to Montana last year. Amen? But if we think back just for a minute, and some of you got to think way back to your childhood, you know. But if we think back just a minute, you know, first of all, every one of them had to begin life with just being born. Amen. I mean, at some point they had to come from the mother's womb and had to be born, and life began at that point. And you think about the life of these teenagers. You think about they've only spent 18 years so far, maybe 19, so far of their years in life. And some of us can look back and say, well, that's just a drop in the bucket, amen? And it may be just a drop in the bucket, but it don't have to be, amen? But anyway, we think back to their life of how it all started. When they come out of the womb and that little precious thing, and Leah's holding one tonight, a little baby back there, to give us some comparison, Joseph's child there that's just began. And you know, that child, that little baby has to learn through life. It has to learn to walk. And it has to learn to feed themselves. And most importantly, they have to learn to go to the bathroom by themselves. Amen? All you mamas say amen right there. Amen? I've been through it 6 times, and I'm telling you, that is a blessing, is when they learn to go to the bathroom. No more diapers, no more stinking up the car on the way home from church and all that. But then, you know, after all that starts and they do that, then school begins, whether it be homeschool or whether it be at school. You know, back in my day, and most of us fall in this, back in our day, there wasn't no pre-K. They was just kindergarten, right? But now we have, it starts at pre-K. So they begin to go to pre-K and they start that, and they learn to read and write and tie their shoes and all that good stuff. And then each year after that, they learn more and more. I know through grade school, and I'm letting you go back a little in time there, Sister Catherine, but in grade school, you know, you didn't always know how to read and write, and they taught you those things and taught you how to add and subtract and taught you all those different things. And then more importantly, when you got in high school. Now, see, this is where I think a lot of you quit listening, amen? I'm telling you, these kids graduate and they're coming into my Sunday school on Sunday morning, and I think they quit listening about the 8th grade, amen? I think they quit listening when they started teaching them how government works and how getting a job works, amen? And how all those things work in life and how the law works, amen? My son is fixing to be 20 years old. He didn't call me now. He called my wife. He called Christy and said, hey, what's Dad doing? He said, well, he's sitting over here. Well, I don't want to talk to him anyway. He said, I'll need you to look up and find out how much running a stop sign costs. See, they missed that in high school, that you got to obey the laws of the land, right? And that there's government and all of those sort of things. And you learn that in high school, so that when you get out of high school, that when you graduate, they are trying to teach you how to be a profitable citizen of the United States of America. Amen. I think they missed that point somewhere about being a profitable citizen to the United States of America. I know somebody in here, a few of you probably were on the up and up, and as soon as you graduated high school, you either went on to school or got you a job and did all the right things, and then there was some of us others, amen, that was full of mischief and causing trouble and all that. I tell you something, Michael, that all straightened it out for me when I joined the Navy, amen. Hey, I tell you, I got that all straightened out and fixed. And I praise the Lord that my path went through the military, because mine was pretty rough. And the military helped straighten me out, helped get me on the right path. So I am thankful for Michael going there. But the bottom line is that main objective and that main goal of this whole time of school, of our raising these children. How many of you raised your children to stay at home until they die? That is not the purpose that we just spent all this time for these kids to get their diploma, right? We spent this time and sweat and tax money and everything else and school money so that they could get their diploma and leave home. Amen. Amen. That's the whole goal, and to be a profitable sin. Well, you know what? It's the same thing. Listen, it's the same thing tonight when it comes to our spiritual life. You understand that? I've been able to use these kids tonight in a fun way about their life and about what they're to become. But you know, as a child of God, as a Christian, we should have the same goals about ourselves. And when it comes to our spiritual life, it starts the same way. Look at verse 23. It says what? Being born again. You know, all of us in here were different ages when you were born again. Maybe somebody in here hadn't been born again yet. Maybe you haven't started your spiritual walk. But at some point, if you're going to start your spiritual life, what God has intended to you for you to do begins with being born again. Verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He gave him that. He said, you must be born again. And I think about that all the time. I think about that when that came to my life, when I was the age of 24, when the Holy Spirit of God was dealing with my heart, and my grandmother telling me all the time that I needed to be saved. And I could just see again that Jesus Christ saying, listen, boy, you must be born again. You must be born again. And I tell you, I think about that question all the time. I tell my friends that. I tell my son that listen, your life will never begin. Catherine and Devin and who's the other one? Samuel, as far as I know, they're all children of God and all of that. But I'm going to tell you, graduation and where their life began. Their life began when they said yes to Jesus Christ. Amen. You must be born again. And that's where it all starts. And I tell you, you think about that. And this is what I'm talking about, Samuel. This ain't what I'm talking about, Catherine. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. Huh? I tell you, you think about Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And I tell you what we see all the time. How many of you ever heard of that? I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do something different with my life. I'm going to make my life account for something. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I've heard that I don't know how many times. Probably even said it myself before I got saved. Amen. I'm not even talking about a New Year's resolution. Amen. Oh, that's the best one. The next one is the best one. This is second best. Amen. How many of you see new visitors on January the 1st? Amen. Come into church or come to a watch night service or whatever we call it, the night before the new. You know what? I'm gonna have a New Year's resolution. I'm gonna get my life straightened out. Well, you know what? Jesus didn't say you need to have a New Year's resolution. He didn't say that you need to turn over a new leaf. He said you must be born again. I think this is the one that tops them all. And pastor's been this, Brother James seen this, Brother Jim, everybody that's ever been to the altar that spends time praying with these folks when they come down. It just happened probably 4 weeks ago. I ain't seen this man since then, amen? But 4 weeks ago, a man come down front, and I prayed with him. Matter of fact, preacher prayed with my brother over this same situation. Come in and say, you know what? I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You don't need a rededication. You need salvation. Amen. You need to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said, hey, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, you need to start life anew with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where it all begins for the Christian. Saying yes to Jesus Christ and giving your heart and life to him. Amen. Begin being born again. And what a blessing that is. The real life begins in verse 1. After that, this is where your life begins in verse 1. Verse 23, you get born again, you're a babe, and then verse 1. Listen, most of you think that after you get saved, you're not supposed to do nothing after that. That's the truth. I was going to be nice, but it don't work. I pray about being nice and it don't work. Listen, there's more to life. There's more to being a Christian than just saying yes to Jesus Christ and then not doing anything with the rest of your life for the Lord. Amen. I'll give you a little comparison here as we go down through this. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speak." There's supposed to be a change there. In verse 23, he says, being born again. And then he says, wherefore, because you were born again, because of that being done in your life, you personally, you obligation say, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil. Now listen to verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You look at what he says there. Not only do you lay aside all these different things in your life, but in verse 2 he says, as newborn babe. Hey, let me, perfect example. What in the world, those that you can see right now. Most of you can't because you sit too far in the back. But Leah right now is holding that little bitty baby. And you know what is stuck in that baby's mouth? The bottle. Bottle of milk. You know why? Because a newborn babe desires that milk. That newborn baby wants that milk. And let me tell you, when that baby ain't got that milk, it lets you know that it ain't got that milk. Amen. Little thing hollers and screams and makes all kinds of racket all night long and everything else. Just think if Christians did that when they wouldn't have the Word of God. Just think if we acted that way whenever we wasn't at church. Just think if we acted that way when we were riding in the car and say, man, I wish I could just hear a little more preaching. Oh, I wish I could just read my Bible a little bit longer. Peter here said the same thing. He says, as newborn babes, desire the milk of the Word so that you and I can grow thereby. I'm glad for old time preaching. You know that? I'm glad that preachers let it rip. I know we've been to a lot of revival meetings and things like that, and I've heard people many a time tell Brother Homer when he gets up, let her rip. It's funny. That's one of Brother Homer's favorite things to say too. I remember, when I was preaching, I love Brother Homer. I really miss him a lot. But I tell you what, I'd come up to the front and I would preach for them a lot of their meetings, and back in the back, Brother Rudy would say, be nice, be nice. I'd get up to the front, Brother Homer said, and he goes, let them have it, let it rip. Hey, good preacher. I'm thankful that I've had some good preaching in my life. Amen. I'm glad I've had some preachers tell up and tell me what sin is and everything else instead of tickling my ears. I'm glad I've heard some good gospel singing. Amen. Hey, tonight, all night long, talking about being in the battle for the Lord, talking about being on the firing line, talking about the victory in Jesus that we've had. I'm thankful for songs like that. Amen. Encourage me to stay in the fight for the Lord. Amen. That's newborn babes desiring the Word of God. When I got saved, I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. I read my Bible and read my Bible and read and prayed and read. I just wanted to just get everything I could out of my Bible. Desiring that Word. You know why? I wanted to grow. I didn't want to be a babe all my life, and we have to have that. You know, you ain't going to believe this, but when you are born again, your spirit desires the Word of God. Now, most of you ignore it, but your spirit thrives on the Word of God. I got a good friend right now, and we've been praying for him. I'm not going to call his name. He might listen to this message or something. Amen. But I got a good friend that I talk to on a regular basis. Every day I talk to this friend. And he is saved. He is born again. He knows Jesus Christ is his Savior, front and back, no question about it. And I've been trying to get him in church for a long time, and I've got him in the church one or two times and all that. And I see him struggle all the time. Breaks my heart. See him struggle with life all the time. See him upset all the time. See him have problems all the time and all this. And I said, you know what, buddy? I said, you know if you'd come to church, those things would get better. He said, why is that? I said, you want me to tell you why? I said, because that spirit inside of you belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, that spirit inside of you is desiring to hear the Word of God. Hey, even when I come to church and I get reamed out from the pulpit and the Lord is all over me, my spirit desires that. My spirit misses that. It wants that in my life because that is what helps me grow. And this one fellow I talk to all the time, he says, boy, I sure do feel good after I go to church. Even after you yell at me, spit at me and everything else, he says, sure does make me feel good. I said, you know why? I said, because that spirit got fed. I tell you, people today, if that little baby right there didn't get fed, what's going to happen? He's going to scream. And that spirit inside of you needs to be fed the Word of God. And what's going on inside of you screams and hollers and says, hey, I want some Word of God. Amen. I want some of this stuff. Just like these kids tonight have learned and graduated high school, the child of God must learn as well. Let me ask you something. As you think about this, I'm almost done, believe it or not, but let me ask you something. If these kids, these three kids in here tonight, didn't learn what they were supposed to learn, and they didn't do what they were supposed to do, and they get what for that? Grades, right? They get these grades. And if they don't make the right grades, what do they have to do? Do it over. Now think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. You know where this is going. Thank God I'm almost done. Amen. So if he's going to preach a long time on this stuff. If they didn't pass their grades, they had to do it. You know, some kids get out of high school in 12 years. They start in kindergarten, or 13, that's right. Kindergarten, can't leave that grade out. Kindergarten on through and out. Boom, gone. Some kids get out in 8 or 9 years. The exceptionally smart, right? They can't get enough of it and learn it real quick. And then there's some, not like me. Y'all thinking I was one of them, not me. I made straight A's, amen. I did. I hated school. I made straight A's and got out of there. But there is some that may have my same name, amen. That may be called the third after my same name, amen. That thinks school is a hangout, amen. And it takes them 20 or 21 years to get through high school. Amen. But you know what? There's some Christians that are just like that. God wants us, after we get saved, to desire the Word of God, to put it in our heart, to put it in our lives. And listen to where He says in verse 2, that you may grow thereby. God wants His people to know what they're doing. Amen. Listen, I see it all the time, and I'm glad it don't happen here a lot. It really don't. But I went to this one church, Pastor, before I came here. I was out, and I had to visit a bunch of churches, and this one church wanted me to visit a lot. I hated to go there and visit. I really did. And the reason why, it wasn't a bad church. I enjoyed the church, had good singing, all that stuff, and all that. But at the end of service, every service, about 10 or 15 people in that church fell apart. I mean, just fell apart at the end of the service. Come to the altar and screaming and crying and carrying on and all that stuff and wailing and all this. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with them people? Now listen, folks, I understand. I understand. You lose somebody, you're going to be upset and you're going to cry. I understand. Your spouse may leave you and you're going to be in, your world's going to be turned upside down. They may be a crisis in America and y'all lose your jobs. And believe me, I'd cry if I lost my job. Amen. I'm on the verge of losing mine all the time. Amen. Them guys leave me, I'll lose my job. And there's some things like that. But I'm going to tell you something. If that is your thing, at the end of every service and every circumstance of life, you fall apart. Uncontrollably fall. Guess what? You're not growing too much. Because in Sunday school, we talk about trials and tribulations and things like that. And God puts those things in our lives sometimes to help us grow in faith so that we can handle the next thing that comes. And I tell you, if your life is constantly fell apart on the altar and everything else, and you can't get that thing together and you can't get a grasp on it, let me tell you something. You need to desire the sincere Word of God so that you can grow in your life. Now, I understand something, and God showed me something in this message as well. And over there in Titus chapter 2, when he talks to him and he says, the older teach the younger and all this and that and everything else. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I also know this, and I preached this a couple of years ago here, that, you know, these people falling apart, I often wonder what that pastor is teaching those people. I thank God for Brother Chris. He ain't a pacifier preacher. And I sure ain't no pacifier preacher, amen. I didn't even want my kids to have pacifiers when they was crying. I said, all you doing is just lying to them. Don't give them no pacifier. Stick a rag in their mouth, amen, or something like that, but don't put no pacifier in their mouth. Listen, I'm going to tell you, this is a serious thing, though. There has been people that's been saved for years and have never grown. Yes. Never grown. You know, we see it all the time. We see this all the time. You know, God puts everything we need right here in this book. He does. Everything we need is right here. Every situation of life is in this Bible. Every one of them. I don't think there's anything you can't come up with that ain't in this book. And God wants you to grow there. This is what hurts. This is what's terrible. Terrible. People been saved 20 years and struggling financially. Is that not the truth? I knew that one wouldn't go very good. Amen. But when you are, if you're still struggling financially, guess what? You have not learned the principles that God has set forth in the Bible. Amen. That's the truth. Especially in America, amen. I see this all the time. Me and Miss Christie have to talk to people all the time. We got it going on right now with some of our friends that we know that are constantly struggling in their marriage. You know why? They haven't grown. Children of God that have never grown in the Word of God to help their marriage. God's got every answer in this book to help your marriage. Amen. To have a good, godly marriage where you love each other and have fun and all that stuff is written right here in the pages of this book. Hey, not only that, but struggling spiritually. And then struggling emotionally. People falling apart all the time. Having trouble all the time. Over and over again. Over and over again for years upon years and upon years. When all they had to do was this desire. The Word of God. Just put a little bit of the Word of God in their life. You say, how do we do all this, Brother Ron? You preach all that to us, but what's the answer? How do we do it? I'm going to give you some familiar verses and then I'm going to hush. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Most of you got it memorized. You know, after you get saved, I done told you what He said to do. Put away all this nonsense. Is that not what He says? I mean, just to sum it up. Put up the nonsense. There's verse after verse in the New Testament about this. Put up the nonsense. And then look in verse 12 and verse 1. And He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the... Now, let's think about this for a minute. What happened in Romans chapter 10? What happened there? Salvation. Right? Book of Romans didn't stop in chapter 10. It kept on going. But it seems like that when Christians got to 12, they shut the book. They said, whoa, that got a little bit too serious right there. I think I'll just stop right there. But hey, this stuff ain't in here for a suggestion. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, listen, that you present. Michael, you know what that word means, present? If you don't now, you will in a couple weeks. When you're standing there with somebody screaming in your face and you think I spit bad, spitting in your face and their nose is touching your nose and their nasty sweat is running down your nose from their forehead and they're yelling at you and you're holding that gun and he says, present arms. and you are to present your arms. What does it say here? For the child of God to present your body to God. Here it is, Lord. It ain't much. It's scarred up, beat up, tore up, everything under the sun. But it's yours. And you know what? God don't care what it looks like. He don't care how scarred up it is. He don't care how inked up it is. He don't care how many holes are in it. He don't care about how many fingers are gone. He don't care about any of that stuff. He don't care about the wrinkles. He don't care about how young it looks. Amen? He just wants you to present your body a living, holy sacrifice unto Him, which is your reasonable service to God. For what He did in Romans chapter 10.
Amen, brother. Amen.
What happens so many times is the child of God goes through the same grade over again. You got to repeat kindergarten 20 times. You got to repeat first grade 30 times. You got to repeat fifth grade 4 or 5 times. And before you ever even graduate, you've been doing this thing for 40 years before you just figure out how to present yourself a living sacrifice before God. In verse 2, and I'll close, says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," listen, "by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, after salvation, give your heart and life to Lord Jesus Christ. You put away all the foolishness in your life. Put away all the stupid talk and all that stuff. And you present your body to the Lord and said, "Here it is. I've done made a mess out of all this. Now it's all yours. Whatever you want." And you know what you have to do, folks? Every morning when you wake up, you have to say, "Here I am, Lord. My body belongs to you. Here I am." And you know what you have to do when you wake up the day after that? Same thing. Because you've got to renew your mind every day, because this foolish mind of ours, full of stupid thinking and crazy thinking, thinks that we belong to ourselves again for some reason when we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this.